Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Florida we go for Sweeney Murty, who is, of course, covering the New York Yankees, who are favored by just about everybody to win that piece of metal. How you doing, Sweeney?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Well, we're coming along, and good to hear your voice. Hope the family is doing well, Sweeney, because we know you're doing okay. We hear you all the time. Let's start with Aaron Judge. What is going on with the shoulder?
Yeah, it's a good question, Steve. They shut him down from throwing and hitting right now. They did that about a week ago. He's been here for a couple of weeks in Florida. Said he's been hitting since early November, but when he felt something a couple of weeks ago here, they decided to shut him down from it. They're all saying it's minor. They don't seem to be concerned about it, but we've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Until you see Aaron Judge going out there and swinging and doing it on back-to-back days and more, you know, the thing to remember about spring training, even when they play in spring training games, stars like Aaron Judge don't usually play 2 days in a row. So the idea of being able to play multiple games in a row, that's going to be the real test. Judge will get into exhibition games at some point here. It won't be as soon as this weekend, it appears. But even when he does, I think we're all going to be a little suspicious until we see him play a few days in a row.
Sure. And, of course, what raises some eyebrows is the fact that he was given the MRI, which made at least, you know, the Yankees feel that maybe it's a little bit more than just a cranky or a sore shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, they do that just to make sure that there's nothing in there. It doesn't mean that there really isn't. They said it was basically unchanged.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing really new there as far as damage that they could see. But again, it's kind of inexact sometimes. And if the symptoms don't get better, then you kind of got to go back in there and look again. You know, at this point, they think they can treat it conservatively here and see if it gets any better. And then we'll know more in a few days as they let them ramp up some activity. But for now, it's you know, it's activity. When you come to spring training and you want and see Aaron Judge, you want to see him take batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not happening right now. So until that happens, I guess we kind of got to wait and see. And as they say, play it day to day.
And what is he doing?
Well, he's doing anything that doesn't involve hitting or throwing right now. You know, it's all the conditioning work and fielding work. I mean, he was all the fielders today in the outfield were taking fly balls, ground balls, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't doing any throws. So he was no different than anybody else in that regard today. It's just a slow process. You know, sometimes the workouts appear kind of boring because they go through certain routines. And today was one of those days when the outfielders are all fielding fly balls, but they're not doing anything. You know, really no point in letting anybody throw their arms out on February 18th. So they're taking it slow. Although, you know, the games are coming up pretty fast here. The games are coming up this weekend. There's only 3-4 days of workouts here before they get into game work. But again, a lot of the veteran players, they don't really get into the grind of game activity for a few more weeks down the road. You'll see them play a day and then take a day off, things like that.
Sure. You're here today with Aaron Judge and with Paxton. And, of course, you hear with Paxton, maybe, you know, in June or July, by the All-Star break, he might be able to return. Had a great second half last year, winning, what, his last 10 starts. But everybody always fears the worst. Are we going to see Paxton from what information you've gathered, are we going to see him right around the All-Star break or right after?
Well, Paxton thinks he can be ready in May, and the estimate that the Yankees gave was 3 to 4 months from the date of the surgery, which takes you into the first week in June.
Okay.
The only people that I've heard say All-Star break or later are some of these other doctors that have opined on the procedure and what the diagnosis was, but I always caution people, the doctors that speak out about this have never examined the patient, nor have they seen the test results. They're simply giving their opinion based on what they know about this type of injury. But, you know, that's like saying, Steve, I'm going to diagnose your cough without ever examining you or talking to your doctor. So while they have a certain area of expertise, it's not specific to this patient. The Yankees gain nothing by giving an aggressive timetable, especially the way the last couple of years have gone with the way the injuries have gone and what we've seen about people having setbacks, things like that. So when the Yankees give a timetable that says he's going to be back in early June, that serves them no purpose to put it on the short side. If anything, you put it on the long side and have him come back earlier and everybody feel good about it and nobody will question you.
Sure.
So, Paxton said, the first step is going to be when he's allowed to throw again. And the doctors told him that is 4 to 6 weeks after surgery. We're at about 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. Now, as he pointed out to me, there's a big difference in whether you start throwing 4 weeks or 6 weeks out. So until they're going to check him after 4 weeks and see how he feels and, you know, different sorts of exercises to see if he's okay to throw. And then they'll determine that date. But if he throws in 4 weeks, obviously it's speeded up the timetable. If it's 6 weeks, it's a little bit further out than that. But at this point, until you see a setback, there's no reason to believe it's not going to be late May or early June, okay, the way these guys say.
Okay. And getting back to Aaron Judge, he had plenty to say, as so many players have been talking about the Houston Astros. I mean, Aaron Judge didn't seem to be pulling too many punches about the cheating going on in Houston.
You know, I think especially the last couple of years that the Yankees have gotten knocked out, Steve, you know, players, even the young players, really realize how hard it is to get to the World Series and you know, how precious that shot is. And when the Yankees, who played in 2017, see how close they got to getting to the World Series, and the team that got there in front of them is now proven to have cheated to have gotten there, well, it makes them all pretty angry, and they're not holding back. I think, you know, and Aaron Judge didn't hold back when asked about whether or not he thought the title should be stripped from them. And he said, well, they didn't earn it. You know, and that's what really stands out to him. Now, he didn't say that about Jose Altuve's MVP, but what he did say, in kind of expanding on thoughts about it, really stood out to me, because he talked about the idea that what the Astros did led to more walks, more base runners, more chances to drive in runs. It wasn't just the idea of hitting a home run on a pitch you knew it was coming. And in a way, that kind of implicates Jose Altuve, even if you take Carlos Correa at his word that Altuve did not like the system and did not use it to cheat. He is coming up with men on base who probably did use it. And
here's
obviously those are situations that lead to more runs being driven in, inflate his statistics. So even though he didn't say that he believed flat out that Altuve's MVP should have been taken away, what he did to expand on how the nuances of sign stealing certainly throws some shade at Altuve and winning that MVP.
Well, we know what Bellinger had to say, and Bellinger, I think, now is an honorary member of the Bleacher Creatures by actually coming out and saying that Altuve stole the MVP away from Aaron Judge. The interesting thing is, and this has been brought up, you know, over and over and over again, as you can imagine, 24/7 with this issue. The bottom line is, it wasn't just the Astros beating the Yankees in the postseason. It was the Astros getting home field, winning all year long by cheating.
Yeah, and that's, and again, that goes to, you know, Carlos Correa's defense, supposedly about not doing it during the World Series. Isn't that? But, you know, another thing Aaron Judge said, he basically echoed Gleyber Torres, who basically, you know, firebombed the Astros the day before, like so many players are doing right now. They don't believe that it stopped. And their rationale is basically, well, they were using the system to steal signs, and they won the World Series doing it. Why would they stop? Right. So just because the evidence doesn't show that, the players themselves aren't buying it. And this is going to be an issue for the Players Association. I mean, it already is, I'm sure. But as the Players Association makes the rounds in spring training and visits team to team, you know, their job is to represent all players. So their job is to represent the Astros here. And it was partially their influence that kept the Astros, I shouldn't even say partially, a great deal of it had to do their influence in keeping the Astros players from being punished by Commissioner Rob Manfred. However, there are players in 29 other teams, maybe not 29, but a good handful of them that had a chance to you know, whether it's the Yankees or the Dodgers specifically, who were in the Astros' way late in that postseason, or other teams that were competing for them in that division or in the American League. Players from all those teams feel that, you know, the Astros players should have been punished.
You think
they're having a fight with their own union over this,
yeah,
and players within their own union over this. And this is sort of unprecedented. Usually you're fighting with the league.
Right.
It's players union against the league. And now it's player on player crime and player on player, you know, things happening in the words back and forth, too.
You think Manfred thinking about the new CBA that will have to be negotiated with the players and after this season? I think after 2021. Do you think that
next season?
Yeah. Do you think that played a part, him thinking down the road with the new CBA on the horizon? Do you think that played a part in not penalizing the players at all?
No, I think there was a really well-written piece by Evan Drellick in The Athletic explaining the concept of labor laws and how that really influenced what the commissioner was and wasn't able to do. Because this was not part of, you know, there are penalties for steroid use. There are penalties for use of other drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And those have been bargained. Those have been laid out. There's no specific penalty for this. So when this happened, the commissioner couldn't just say, okay, you guys are all suspended, because the union would then file a grievance, because there is no set guidelines for penalizing a player. The commissioner doesn't have the unilateral authority to do that. So I don't know. I mean, I guarantee you going forward here, the union MLB
sure
will move forward and have some sort of guideline
mm-hmm
attached to it. But without that guideline, any penalty the commissioner would have imposed would have been struck down by an arbitrator. And this is all very well written out by Evan Drellick in The Athletic.
And maybe some personal lawsuits as well. Now, let me ask you about with Aaron Boone, and of course he doesn't want to talk about it too much. We know Gardner; he came out today, from what we understand, Sweeney, and he's tired of talking about it. Chapman, he used the word suspicious regarding Altuve, but still, even though Boone and most of us would like to move on, we need games. There's no question about that.
Right.
Bottom line is, it has made so many players everywhere so very mad, so very angry, so very frustrated, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to go away at all. And what is interesting is that the Astros are saying, well, we're going to use this as motivation, all of the negativity that's been directed towards them. We're gonna make it us against the world, and my comment is the world is gonna win. I think the Astros are in for hell. I think they're in for a huge distraction, which will be the 2020 season for them.
Well, I think you hit on something very important a moment ago, though, is that there has not been a single baseball game played since this story broke. This story broke after the World Series. It was in the second week of November.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else to talk about because there are no games being played. And for a while, we got away from it because Gerrit Cole signed with the Yankees and, you know, Anthony Rendon signed with the Angels and some of these other big-name free agents came off the board. And
mm-hmm
we could talk about some of that stuff. But as soon as that stuff wears down, here we are right back on all this. And nothing has happened because nobody has played a game yet.
Mm-hmm.
So once the games start being played, sure, there'll be other things to talk about. But, you know, the Astros are playing games every day. And fan reaction, other player reaction. The Yankees and Astros play in May. Of course you're going to be talking about it then. The Yankees and Astros play in September. Of course you're going to be talking about them. The Astros, by the way, have a pretty good team. they might make the playoffs. You think we're going to talk about it then? Of course we will. This is not going away anytime soon.
No.
It may die down a little bit as games get played, other storylines are brought out. But for now, you know, this is all right here because you know, it happens because the players in the game are not making it go away.
Right.
You know, this is not media driven. If the players wanted to stop talking about it, they could.
Mm-hmm.
We could stop asking about it, but we would stop asking about it if the players stopped talking about it. Every player we talk to, they're giving us some very strong opinions. Clearly they have them, and clearly they want to get them out, and nobody is doing anything to stop them from giving them.
Yeah, and of course, and then you have the situation, of course, with Gardner. He doesn't want to talk about it at all. Let's move on. And he is very, very rare. And it's very important for the Yankees in 2020 that not only do you have Aaron Judge playing a lot of games, but also Stanton as well. Those two guys, what do they total? About $635 million between the two of them.
Yeah, but just one more quick point on Gardner. Don't mistake that for him not having strong feelings about it. He absolutely does.
Mm-hmm.
He's just choosing not to say them publicly.
Sure.
He has decided that it should be time to move on because he doesn't want to fan the flames. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is doing it for him.
Right.
But he clearly has very strong feelings about it. He's just chosen to
to
hide them from us and decided not to join the rest of the guys doing it. As far as Judge and Stanton, listen, we all started dreaming about how many home runs these guys could hit, but you know they have to be in the lineup in order to hit.
Right.
And they came in off of two fantastic seasons, and now in the same lineup, they just haven't been healthy enough together. They both need to play 130 or more games together in order to have this kind of impact that we all imagine they might have. Judge especially, and now with questions right away out of a gate about his shoulder, you know, you need to see these guys on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton is, had a lost year last year. At least Judge had some time, but still not as much as you would wanted. Yeah, these guys can, you know, they look huge and they hit lots of homers in batting practice and everybody looks good in February.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about trying to post for these guys, I would say at least 130 times each during the course of the season.
Let me ask you this. Do the Yankees have a weakness?
Yeah, sure. I think they have some question marks. I'm not sure how all the pieces fit together on the roster between first base, third base, left field, and some of the pieces they have there. And because of all the health concerns they had last year, it's almost part of their weakness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can they stay healthy? Now, even a team that wasn't healthy won 103 games. But yeah, I would say the weaknesses show when you know certain players get hurt, you know, and I guess there's no team that can cover all of those. When players get hurt, no team's prepared for your star players to be hurt. They have depth. They have a lot of players, and it showed last year, even in the year when Judge and Stanton and Sanchez get hurt so much. Well, look what Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, also,
when a team has one or two stars and they get hurt and the rest of the guys don't perform at star levels, well, that's what destroys a team. The Yankees had multiple stars, and some of them did perform at the star level.
What is these? Nobody mentions Aaron Hicks. What's going on with him?
Well, he's still on the same program basically that Didi Gregorius was on. He had Tommy John surgery at the end of the year, and Didi came back in mid-June. So that's probably kind of like the benchmark you set, but he's not going to start the season on time. Obviously, it's just part of the rehab process, and you wait to see midseason some point when you can get him back.
And of course, over there at third, you know, you're talking about the depth that the Yankees have, and they certainly, with all the IL guys from last year, Tauchman, Urshela, now you have Andujar. And apparently he is healthy, is he not, Sweeney? And then you have possibly a battle over there at third base.
Yeah, and I think really it's going to depend on how well Miguel Andujar hits this spring.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, he's working out a little bit at first base. He's working out a little bit in left field. We know that his primary position is third base. Gio Urshela played the last year. Now, let's for a moment assume that both these players are healthy. What do you do? If Miguel Andujar is only hitting 200, let's remember, he's not a guy who's had 7 years at the big league level. Mm-hmm. He had one mm-hmm. and then missed an entire full season. That's a lot of ground to make up, a lot of rust to knock off. And if he happens to not hit well in the spring, there's nothing wrong with sending him to the minor leagues to knock that rust off, get another, I'm just going to make up a number, another 50 or 60 or 100 at-bats, mm-hmm. and get himself back to the point where you know he can be. Now, all that said, just amateur eyes and first day when you're facing 60-mile-an-hour batting practice fastballs, I thought Miguel Andujar hit the ball better than anybody else I saw today. So on day one, he looks like he's ready to go. But again, the results during the games, I think, are important for him. If he's not hitting and he's not comfortable, there's no reason to rush him. And a few weeks in the minors certainly couldn't hurt. And if the Yankees roster is everybody else is healthy and you have decisions to make, that's mm-hmm. one to make.
Mm-hmm. Who are the Yankees going to miss more, Betances or Gregorius?
That's a really good question, because I think if you look at their replacements, one is Gleyber Torres, the other is Chad Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Torres has shown some inconsistencies at times, especially at shortstop, where you just want to see him defensively make sure that he's a little more stable there than maybe he's shown in the past. And a lot of it is just being a younger player and growing with some maturity. He's obviously an offensive force, and he can be a spectacular defensive player. He just has some lapses every once in a while. Green is so useful. It has been for the Yankees, but the role they had kind of had pinned for him last year went a little astray because of the other injuries they took and the need for him to be used as an opener. That took him away from other parts.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I see Chad Green just sliding right into the old Dellin Betances role, pitching one, even two innings at a time sometimes, because he's very capable of doing the two-inning, has a little more durability than some of the other one-inning relievers that you have. I think he is phenomenal in that role, and I think you'll see that play out pretty well as long as the Yankees maintain their health in the rotation. He doesn't need to be bounced around between the two roles.
Mm-hmm. Will the Yankees miss Austin Romine?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think they absolutely will, because I think what you had in Romine is you knew that if Gary Sanchez got hurt for a few weeks or a month, which he had multiple times the last 2 years, I think you knew you were okay there. Kyle Higashioka has the inside track here. The Yankees are very high on, but at the major league level, he's not somebody that's held down that job for a month straight. So that's, I think, if Gary Sanchez plays 100, doesn't get hurt,
mm-hmm.
and he catches 100, let's say 115 games, DHs a bunch more, I think you're perfectly fine. But if you have a point where Gary Sanchez has to go on the IL and Kyle Higashioka is your everyday catcher for the space of 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it may be, then I think you're just something, it's just something you haven't seen before. Mm. Not that it's not possible, but I think you felt a little more comfort level with Romine doing that.
And the Yankees, did they not, Sweeney, sign Tolley and Iannetta in the offseason here for minor league contracts? Am I correct on that?
Yeah. Josh Tolley and Chris Iannetta are in camp with minor league invites, and basically they're here, and Eric Kratz as well.
Oh yeah,
guys who are experienced, and they're here for a couple of reasons. One, in case Kyle Higashioka gets hurt or Gary Sanchez gets mm-hmm. hurt early in the year, you need somebody else with some experience to open the season. You need somebody with some experience at AAA in case one of these guys gets mm-hmm. hurt at any point during the year. And you also need, everybody signs, brings like 8 or 9 catchers to camp because you have 30 pitchers and somebody's got to catch all those guys.
Right.
So that's why you sign a bunch of these guys in bulk and see what happens. But some of these guys will have minor league outs at the end of spring, at the end of May, or, at the end of April or May, things like that. So some of those guys come and go, but a lot of, their contributions will be determined solely on the health of Gary Sanchez and Kyle Higashioka.
Sweeney, a terrific spot, and we hope to do it again with you very, very soon. And maybe one of these nights when we follow a Yankee game, you know, you can come on with us and take some calls with us as well.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks, Steve.
You got it, Sweeney. Take care of yourself.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.